Scripture this morning is the story that Tom told from the Gospel of Luke. I'm afraid for so many years I've been calling him Zacchaeus that I probably will keep doing that, even though Tom is probably right. But it's the same guy. You'll be all right. So beginning at the first verse of the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief toll collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I pay them back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God. May we be blessed in its hearing. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for this opportunity to gather together and to hear your word. May the words, as inadequate as they are that I speak, be turned into something that you would wish them to be, that they might be heard in this place. Amen. It was always unfair. It was unfair the way they hated me. "Zacchaeus," they jeered, "you have a good Hebrew name. Your family has lived in this Jordan River Valley from the time before memory. Your mother named you Zacchaeus, the pure one, the righteous one. Look at you now. You work for the Romans. You are the chief toll collector. Every Judean who travels this highway pays you for the privilege of traveling our own roads, our own trade routes. We pay a temple tax, a head tax, a land tax, and a road toll tax. We are crushed under this burden. But you, Zacchaeus, even your name betrays your offense. You are named pure and righteous, and you are rich at our expense. What an embarrassment you are." Now, they were right, of course. There's something unsavory about a man who lives off the flesh of his own people. I didn't mean for it to end up that way, if that's any consolation. A man seldom sees the future. Or maybe it would be better said, a man seldom looks to see where the small step added to the small step finally leads. I had a family to feed. A little extra cash helping with the tolls wasn't that big a thing. It would be just for a little while, until I got back on my feet. And anyway, Rome was going to get the toll one way or the other. Somebody was going to collect it. If I didn't, somebody would. Yes, I agreed to collect tolls, just as a fill-in, just temporarily. I told my wife the only difference it makes for me to collect a few tolls is that we get to eat. Nobody pays more because I collect them. She tried to force a smile, but we both hated what we were doing. But we were at the end of our rope. Well, that was a long time ago. And a lot has happened since then, but it didn't happen exactly how you may think it did. It certainly didn't happen the way my neighbors thought it did. Oh, how they hated me. Truth is, I was 100% honest. 100%. Toll collectors were known for cooking the books, as you would say it. They would collect a little more than they were supposed to, and then they would report a little less than they were supposed to. It was called a triple play. They cheated the people a little, they cheated the Romans a little, and they drew a salary. Three sources of income in one toll. And in the end, nobody trusted the toll collectors, even the Romans. Everyone agreed we were a rotten lot. But I was different. I told my wife, if I'm going to do this job, at least I'm not going to swindle anyone. But I was unprepared for what that led to. The people still hated me, fair enough. I took their money, although they could have noticed that I was taking a little less than the others. They could have given me a little credit. I never did defraud them. But it's probably too much to ask that a person give you credit for taking less than you could have. I was still taking more than they could afford. But my boss, he liked me a lot because he always got the full collection from me. I didn't skim anything off the top, and he began to notice that he always got more money on my shift than on any other. Well, one thing led to another, and pretty soon I was working full-time. My salary went up. My boss started giving me the best shifts. I did the job with fairness. My income and stature grew, and I kept telling myself, it's still temporary, just until I get back on my feet. I was kidding myself. But by then, I was already better off than almost everybody in town. Why would I quit? One morning, the soldiers showed up at my house, and I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death. I hadn't done anything wrong, but Rome didn't spend a lot of money trying to be sure that people were innocent, and enough people hated me. Who knew what I had been accused of? The centurion said, "Zacchaeus, you need to come with us." My wife was shaking and crying, and I tried not to show my fear for her sake. The soldiers hurried me along the streets of the town, out of the neighborhood, to the northern courtyard of Herod's winter palace. It would be an understatement to say that the place was imposing. It nearly dwarfed the city itself. If you were a Judean, going to that palace under armed guard was about the worst thing you could imagine. I was taken into a small chamber, and Herod's head of taxation was there. He dismissed all but one of the soldiers, and I could not read his face. Zacchaeus, he said, "Do you know why I brought you here?" And with as much confidence as I could muster, I said, "No, sir, I do not know." "Zacchaeus, do you know why I brought you here under an armed guard?" "No, sir, I don't know that either." "Well, Zacchaeus, let's begin with the latter. I brought you here under an armed guard because I wanted you to know without a single doubt that Herod is in charge here in Judea. And we can take you out of your house any time, day or night, and detain you." "Yes, sir, I understand that. Rome and her governors are all powerful, and I have never said otherwise." "No, you haven't, Zacchaeus. You have been very loyal. And in fact, that's why you are here. Taxes, Zacchaeus, taxes. They make the empire run. They make the world go round. They build the roads. They pay the army. They build this glorious palace. But taxes tempt a man too, Zacchaeus, especially a man who collects the taxes. Skim a little here, a little there. Who knows the difference? And pretty soon you're a rich man. I believe you are a rich man, are you not, Zacchaeus?" I began to quiver. Sir, I have never skimmed the taxes. Honest, I swear, I swear. Well, that's what I thought, Zacchaeus, but we wanted one more test just to be sure. We have a way of hearing things, and we have heard that you were a loyal and honest man who has never cheated the emperor. And that's why you are here, and now, after this little test, I am convinced that you are an honest man. It turns out we can't say the same for your predecessor, Zacchaeus. I say predecessor because today you are now the chief toll collector. I will not bore you with what has become of your predecessor, shall we say? Suffice it to say, it is not pleasant. But Zacchaeus, we believe you are just the man for the job. We know that you will keep the toll collectors honest, and we know that you will pass on to the governor his full due. Just remember this, Zacchaeus. There's an old saying, do your job well, and you'll be well off. Cheat the governor, and your head will be well off. The tax official then dismissed me, and as I left the chamber, I heard him say behind me, congratulations on your new post. So that's me. That's how I became Zacchaeus, the chief toll collector. There was a lesson there. Play by Rome's rules and you just might live, you might even thrive. Deviate from Rome's rules and the price was high. I was an honest man who played by Rome's rules, and so I returned home that day. A man with his head still attached and a promotion. Now my wife and I held each other and wept. We wept because I had come home. Both of us had feared I wouldn't. But we wept for other reasons, too. I had become a toll collector, not a part-time temporary one, but a full-time one, a good one, and now I had just been promoted to chief. This is who I had become. I could no longer pretend it wasn't. I'm not sure we could have put words to it, but my wife and I wept for what I had become. But I was stuck. I mean, there seemed no other way to turn. I was as honest as I could be. I did no more to my neighbors than Rome required. And what was I supposed to do? Quit and live in poverty? Or should I become a zealot? That was futile. You might annoy Rome like a bothersome fly, but in the end, you were pretty sure to get swatted. And to be honest, I was actually doing just fine with Rome. Now, about this time, I began to hear stories about a man they called Jesus of Nazareth up in the Galilee. It seemed that every caravan that came through my toll gates in Jericho was buzzing about this Galilean who was teaching in the open air. They said huge crowds came whenever he began to speak on mounts, in the fields, in the meadows, by the seashore. The way they told it, the huge crowds pressed in to hear him so much that sometimes he had to go into a boat or off into the wilderness just to get away. I heard many of the stories he told. One in particular stuck in my mind. You can probably guess which one. One day someone asked him if you should pay taxes to Caesar. It was a trap, of course. Say no, and it was sedition against the emperor. The zealot would say no. Say yes, and the people would hate you. As an arm of Rome, I surely knew that. A toll collector like me would have to say yes. But how could I say anything else? And then, like a knife blade, the story cut to the heart of my self-deception. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's, he said. He didn't say don't pay the tax. But what he did say is that a man's loyalty to God is what counts. and he struck at the heart of my shame. I was an honest man. I defrauded no one, neither Judean nor Roman. I could tell him that with a clean conscience. That was my name, Zacchaeus, clean, righteous. But at the center of my uneasiness lay a question. What must one render unto God to be truly righteous? I was very good at rendering unto Caesar, and I did it about as fairly as anyone could, but God seemed to want something else from me. And one day, word spread that he was coming down the Jordan Valley on his way up to Jerusalem. And as he arrived in Jericho, a throng moved with him. I climbed the sycamore tree to get out of the way and to see him better. And when he came pretty close, I could see him plainly. And our eyes met. And suddenly it was as though he was seeing into my inmost parts. And then I heard him call my name. How he knew my name. How did he know who I was? He said, Zacchaeus, hurry. Come down, for I must stay at your house today. Today. I must have heard the rest of what he was saying. I went home and we prepared a meal for him, but the only thing that my mind could process was today, today, today. The job was going to be temporary, but when would I actually leave? Today, today, today. Something was drawing me and it wouldn't accept, wait a minute. It drummed today, today, today. And weakly I pushed it back. But I'm a good man, I said. But it beat on. Today, today, today. At dinner I thought my head would explode. And I blurted out, today what? And he looked at me again with that look that seemed to see right through me. And softly he said, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where is your treasure, Zacchaeus? Where is your heart? He went on, there are times, Zacchaeus, when the hearts know themselves. When a heart beats in tune with the mind of God. But people put the heart off. They tell it to wait a little bit. Maybe until they just get on their feet. And slowly, over time, the heart loses its suppleness. Treasures build up. And they stiffen the heart. Treasure guides the heart. Zacchaeus, it has to go the other way around, he said. Let your heart settle into the mind of God and then follow it. Follow it today. A long time ago, Zacchaeus, you began collecting tolls for the empire so you could get through a rough spot. And that was not your failure. Your heart broke for your hungry family, and you collected tolls so you could feed them. But then what? You didn't like the idea of the job, but every day it became easier. You became wealthy. You said to yourself that it would be all right because you were honest and defrauded no one. But what of your heart, Zacchaeus? Did not your wealth subdue your aching heart? That's the mistake we make, Zacchaeus. We think the heart isn't supposed to ache. But today, Zacchaeus, you climbed a sycamore tree because your heart yearned to break once more in love. Your heart yearned to ache for the transcendence of God, to ache again for your family, and to ache for Judea and for your neighbor. Embrace that aching heart today, Zacchaeus. Let your aching heart point to where the real treasures are, the things worth loving. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. Otherwise, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the next day, the aching heart will little by little recede to the old acceptable way where the heart does not ache and neither does it beat. Today, Zacchaeus. Today. Amen.